Oh, praise God. Karen told me that we had 56 families. It was like crazy in here Wednesday. I mean, it was insane in a good way. And how many people were? 172 people were fed from that, you know, Wednesday. So it was incredible. And there was a lot of people that got prayer. A lot of people got freedom. And, you know, it's always incredible. Several healings. And you really don't usually know what happened until the next month when they come back. But if you ever, you know, if you're grounded in the Lord and or if you're not really grounded in the Lord, you can always, oh, I'm sorry, you work back there, so you must not be grounded in the Lord, Janet. But what I'm saying is we will put you to work. And I know Sammy comes out and helps. Praise the Lord. There's Sammy right there. So I praise God for that. So I'm trying to think of what else is. Anybody got a quick praise? You got something, Luke? No? Thought you did. Yeah, there you are. I thought I was waiting for you.
Oh. I just wanted to, this was just really neat experience that I had the other night, Wednesday. Of course, this part wasn't neat, but they took little David Rutledge to the hospital, and Mark was committed to something else, so he couldn't go up there to be with Laura and Sam and Rachel, and so I went up there and just to hang out with them and pray with them and stuff. But when I was down in the waiting room with Laura, there was a lady come and sat near where we were, and we just kind of got to talking with her, and we prayed with her about some things, Laura and I did. And there was another lady I seen on the other side of the waiting room, and after we finished praying with that one lady, she come over there, and I felt like she was going to ask us to pray with her. And she kind of just piddled around a few things, and then she went back and sat down where she was at. So about that time, they were telling us that the baby was being put in a room and we could go up there. So Laura and I got up, and we had to go to the security and get a tag and all this stuff because it was late. And right before we left, I was just like, "This, I don't think I've ever had it so strong. You can't go yet." And I said, I think we got to go pray with that lady. And we walked over to her, and I'm not this bold. I just walked up to her and I said, "Do you want us to pray for you?" And she said, I mean, she just was tearful. She said, "You have read my mind." And it was very heartwarming and very exciting, really. I had never had that prompting so strong to go back, you know. And anyway, we got to pray with her about some things, the person she was there for was not wanting to let her come back to the ER room. And Laura just encouraged her, "You stay here all night, and that'll just be an encouragement to them that you're not giving up on them and you'll stay here." Well, I never got to tell you this, Laura, but when I left the hospital, and she said, "I'm going to stay here all night." You know, she was very set. When I left the hospital, she was no longer in her seat. I think that they had let her back. So God had opened a door. Yeah. But that was, you know, hospital is a good place to minister, isn't it?
It is. If you ever get a chance, don't have nothing to do, just go hang out at the emergency room sometime, and you'll get all kinds of opportunities to pray for people. Seriously. Seriously. Try university sometime on a Friday or Saturday night. Ooh, it's fun. Yes, it is. All right, Donna, you come up here, please. We're going to light the menorah, which this menorah is different because it's a Hanukkah menorah, and it's got 9 candles. And I'll explain to you later what it all means, but you light the middle candle first. It's called the Shamas, which means servant candle. So the servant lights the other candles, and I don't know if you can see Messiah in this or not, but he's a servant. He comes as a servant, and he comes to the earth to send fire, baptism of fire and the Holy Spirit. So Now, the Jews wouldn't say that, but they just don't always see the reason they did things. Just about all of it points to future things in the Messiah. So she's going to light this middle candle, and I will do my best to say this in Hebrew and then English. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for this time. We thank you, God, that this won't just be a dead, dry ritual, but it'll be a time that, Holy Spirit, you are honored, and we learn of you, and we learn of your ways, and we love the Jewish people who you have called to salvation. So we pray that you would save them and deliver them and heal them and bring them to their Messiah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam. Asher kadish anu mitzvos zanavu. Ahad laner shel hanaka. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam. Shias nasim lavotita bamim. Haim Ba'ezman Hazay Amin. Translated, blessed are you, Lord our God, sovereign of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to light the lights of Hanukkah. Amen. Blessing for the Hanukkah miracle. Blessed are you, Lord our God, sovereign of the universe, who has kept us alive, sustained us, and enabled us to reach this season. Amen. You can light those candles, and you notice they go from right to left. And if you notice, they also write their letters and books, and the Hebrew scriptures are all written from right to left too. So there's a reason for this. So, praise God, we're blessed to be here on the last day, 8th day of Hanukkah Eve. So, let's give the Lord a hand, and we got to come together. So, let me read you some stuff, okay? I didn't try to memorize all this because I'd butcher it, but the reason they celebrate Hanukkah, and first off, it's not in the Old Testament anywhere. You won't find the celebration of Hanukkah, and the reason is because it happened in that 400-year period between the Old Testament and the New Testament, a time of not much revelation from God, or at least there wasn't much that he said to write down, but there was some things that happened, and a lot of them were hard lessons, but there was a lot of victories too. So let me just read you this, and I want you to put yourself like where we're at right now in the world and where we're at in America right now. It hasn't got to that point, but I just want you to see where these people were at and how desperate they were. Yes, I'm sorry. Y'all can, class, you can go on, and kids, I know you can, if you want them to hear this story, you can get it on the podcast. If you ever miss church, you can listen to it on a podcast. I don't have time. Come on, if you drive a car, you got time. I want to make sure everybody's back in here for this. Okay, y'all ready? The story of Hanukkah begins in the reign of Alexander the Great. You've heard of him, right? Pretty raw, right? Not necessarily a good guy. Alexander conquered Syria, Egypt, and Palestine, but allowed the lands under his control to continue observing their own religions and retain a certain degree of autonomy. So they allowed the Jewish people to continue to practice Judaism. Under this relatively benevolent rule, many Jews assimilated much of the Hellenistic culture. In other words, they got the world in them. They got Greece in them. They got Greek ways in them, right? Adopting the language, the customs, and the dress of the Greeks in much the same way that Jews in America today blend into the secular American society. More than a century later, a successor of Alexander, Antiochus IV, that sounds neat, don't it? Antiochus IV was in control of the region. He began to oppress the Jews. So they had a good president, right? And then all of a sudden, here comes this President servant king from hell. He began to oppress the Jews severely, placing a Hellenistic priest in the temple, massacring Jews, prohibiting the practice of the Jewish religion, and desecrating the temple by requiring the sacrifice of pigs on the altar. That's not kosher. Two groups opposed Antiochus, a basically nationalistic group led by Matthias, the Hasomonean, and his son Judah Maccabee. Now, if you've ever seen a Catholic Bible, you'll notice that it has the book of Maccabees. They don't consider it canon scripture. Why, I don't know. I'm sure there's a reason, but I'm sure you could read it and get the full story of what was going on here. Maccabee and a religious traditionalist group known as the Chasidim, the forerunners of the Pharisees, they joined forces in a revolt against both the assimilation of the Hellenistic Jews and the oppression by the Seleucid Greek government. The revolution succeeded and the temple was rededicated. So they fought the system. There came a point in time, and probably the first pig, they split it open and they burned it on the altar. And that is, you think, well, nothing like that could happen now. It could. It has. In the altar of the church, there's been demonic sacrifices. I saw some on YouTube the other day. I forget, maybe it was in Ohio, Cincinnati, Ohio, I think, that some people have Christmas, what do you call it, when nativity, and it's zombie nativity. And Jesus is a demoniac in the manger, and all the people around him or demoniacs, and you could think, well, that's funny, but it's not funny at all. It's not cute at all. It is totally demonic. They have the right to do that, by the way, in America, but you just think, whew. So that's kind of like sacrificing a pig on the altar, attributing Jesus to demonic things, okay? I won't say it's nothing like that, but it's just the way our society is being, sinning is one thing, but then making open fun and sport of our Savior, now that's getting, nobody would have dreamed of doing that 20, 30 years ago, no matter how heathenistic they were. Would you agree? I mean, you just wouldn't do that. But the good thing is, as dark becomes darker, the light becomes lighter. So praise God, we're going to shine. I'm not trying to bring you down at Christmas or nothing like that. According to tradition, so they reclaimed the temple, they fought and they conquered and they got back their temple. According to tradition, as recorded in the Talmud, at the time of the rededication, there was very little oil left that had not been defiled by the Greeks. And I thought it was interesting they were not going to use oil for the lamps that had been defiled or had anything to do with the Greek culture. It had to be pure, virgin, 100% oil, all right? Oil was needed for the menorah in the temple, which was supposed to burn throughout the night, every night. There was only enough oil to burn for one day, yet miraculously it burned for 8 days. The time needed to prepare a fresh supply of oil for the menorah. That's how long it took them to make a batch of oil. An 8-day festival was declared to commemorate this miracle. Note that the holiday commemorates the miracle of the oil, not the military victory. Jews do not glorify war. So, yeah, it wasn't about them retaking or reclaiming the temple. It was about the miracle of the oil. And, you know, the Bible makes it clear that the oil of God is unlimited and the oil of God flows off the altar and the oil of God flows through us. The oil of God is what? The anointing. And we are anointed ones. So let me read a little bit more here. Let me read about Hanukkah and Jesus' day. It is mentioned in the New Testament. John 10, verse 22. And by the way, Hanukkah is called the Feast of Dedication. It was the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple on Solomon's porch. The Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." And also in John 1, 1, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Light always wipes out darkness, always. John 9, 4, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And again, the light had to keep going 24/7 in the temple. It could never go out. It could never be extinguished. When this building was built, God said, "Put a lamp at each corner post." The doors weren't even in this building. He said, "I want a lamp going there. I want a lamp going there. I want a lamp in that corner and a lamp in that corner." And God said, "It represents repentance, revival, reformation, and restoration. And I want you to stay in here and keep those lamps going for 7 days. Now, I'm not saying that is Hanukkah. I'm just saying that's what he said to do. And it symbolizes the light of God is to fall in this church, and it's to never go out. We are never, and that's the church body. God wants the light of the world to be in the church. God wants the light coming out of the church 24/7. And you could look at, they're doing it physically out in Kansas City, but I don't necessarily think it has to be physically. It doesn't have to be a 24/7 prayer meeting, because when y'all go home, you're the church. When you go home, you're the church. When you go home, you're the church. When everybody in this room that loves Jesus goes home, you are the church, and you're to never go out. You're to be as fresh at 3 o'clock in the morning if God wakes you up. You're to be in season, out of season. You are to be ready to do the Lord's work. So say, "I am the church." We are the church. We are the church. We are the children. We are. We are. Praise God. Praise God. You need to get excited. You're the church. You need to quit listening to the report of the world. The church is dead. The church is dry. The church is finished. It's a lie. It's a lie. The church is growing. The church is mighty. The church is tearing down strongholds. The church is seeing people healed. Praise God. Who? What's it say about the church? It says, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. A lot of people not fellowshipping anymore. You can do it just as well at home. Well, I'll grant you can do it at home, but you need the fellowship. You need to be around other lights so your light will get stronger, praise God. John 12:35, Jesus said to them, "A little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them." Hanukkah, Jesus recognized it, and Jesus even made reference to it in the book of John predominantly. But I want you to look at Hanukkah. And I'm not lifting up Hanukkah. I'm lifting up what it symbolizes. that the light, God kept the light burning when there was nothing left. Physically, it was impossible for this to happen. That's like getting in your car and driving to California without stopping for gas, and it never runs out. That sounds like a pretty cool miracle. I'll take one of them every day. But I'm just saying, that is no more far out of statement than this oil last. And you might think this is a small thing, but it's not a small thing. It's a huge thing. It was a huge miracle. It was enough to get the people, the Jews, back on fire for God again. Is this helping y'all any? Want me to finish? Hanukkah represents a future prophetic symbol also, okay? Daniel 9. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he will bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. And that will be the term abomination that brings desolation. An abomination that brings desolation is doing something abominable to the Lord, to do something that is totally against God's, like making zombies out of Jesus, you know, doing something, trying to do something to shock people, trying to do something to blow people away, you know. That's what he's talking about. And in the last days, Daniel was looking at the, how y'all doing? It's good to see you. Daniel looked at the last days and he said, hey, you know, this is what's going to be going on. The same thing that brought this menorah on is what's going to be going on in the last of the last days. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed. Who's the man of sin? The Antichrist. The Antichrist. Who's Antichrist? We're getting way off here. That's okay. Who's Antichrist? He's a man that'll go, you know what, if you don't have a 666, baby, if you don't have a 666 on your forearm or your forehead, guess what? You don't buy, you don't sell, right? That's what it says. So the man of sin will be revealed. And he said, even now there are many antichrists among you. Not the antichrist, but there's an antichrist spirit marching around this land right now. It's marching and it's marching and it's marching, and it thinks it's going to win. But it's just like when they thought they'd wiped out dedication in the temple and they had wiped out the presence of God in the temple, God showed up and those menorahs burned for 8 days instead of one. Y'all get excited about that? Is that a cool miracle? Is that a cool miracle? You know what? You know the only thing that'll kill miracles like that? Unbelief. Good to see you. Praise the Lord. Good to see you. I'm good. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm just glad you're here. And some of y'all turned me off because you've heard this before, but I'm going to tell it again because it's just as much a miracle as that was. Out in the barn, we had a bottle of oil about this size. We used to anoint people regular. Every time somebody come up was sick or they needed something or they needed to be anointed for something, we always believed in anointing them with oil. I didn't always know why I believed in anointing with oil. I think I went to some Pentecostal churches and I seen people anointing with oil, so I thought, well, you must need to anoint with oil. But really, it represents the anointing. And it's very biblical. Is there any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil. And the prayer of faith will heal the sick. And if any sins have been committed, they will be forgiven. Not by me, not by you, but by the Holy One. But anyway, we had this bottle of oil. We anointed, we anointed, we anointed, we anointed, we anointed, we anointed. And it got down to about like just barely covering the bottom of the bottle. Glass bottles back then, not plastic ones. And one day I'm like, Donna, you know what? that oil has been right there for like 2 years. So the oil never ran dry. Then one day I got this bright prophetic idea that we need to get another bottle of oil. Stupid. We'd still have the same bottle. We still would have the same bottle. I'm sure of it, but I bought a new one. You know, that's the thing sometimes. We want to do it the new way. You know, you remember what happened when they wanted to carry the Ark of His Presence in the new way? They wanted to put it on a cart. God said specifically, He said, you put these poles through it, and you carry it like this. You've got four people on there carrying the Ark of God's presence. And this is the way I want you to do it. This is the only acceptable way to carry the Ark of my presence. Then one day they got this great idea. Let's put it on an ox cart and let an ox pull it. And so they're going along and it starts teetering. They couldn't strap it down, I guess, because they couldn't touch it. It started teetering, and Uzziah reached out to steady. His whole intentions was to just steady the ark to keep it from falling off. Soon as he touched it, he was slain in the spirit. And I don't mean he got up. He was gone. He was gone. That's how holy God is. Praise God for the cross. That we can come to Him no matter where we've been or what we're doing. But there are certain ways that God wants to do things. And that's why He's giving you the Word of God. When you don't do them that way, you always get smoked. You always get smitten, don't you? You always do. And it's not God smiting you. 99% of the time, it's the enemy smiting you because you've put your armor down. You've allowed things in your life that God had no intention to ever be there, because He loves you and He wants to bless you and He wants the joy of the Lord to be your strength. You ever seen somebody that just got free of some demons? I mean, there are demons. I know, because I looked in the mirror one time after I prayed. It's like your countenance just changes, man. It's like, whoa. Whoa! Whoa! I haven't looked like this since I was a little boy. You know, I don't mean in years, but you look and go, oh. You know, I've seen girls before, not necessarily girls, but I've seen girls that all of a sudden it's like they're a virgin again. It's like they're not carrying no shame anymore. They're not carrying no wrong, because God frees us, man, completely frees us. Don't He, brother? He completely frees us. Praise God, you're a young man. You've got a whole lot of Jesus ahead of you, man. You know that? You got a destiny, a good destiny, man. All of you do. There's something about destiny, man. First, you got to believe it. That's the first step. You got to believe that God's given you a destiny. And you got to know something else. It's a good one. God is good, right? No matter what happens to you this week or last week or early in your life, God is good. Can y'all say that? God is good. God is good. God is light, and in Him is what? No darkness at all. None. The light chases away the darkness every time. That's why that little menorah, turn all these lights down. Turn all these lights down. This thing don't really get much respect like that. Got all this artificial light going here. Oh, especially them. It's hard to find all them switches. We got so many. Yeah, that makes it a little more real, don't it? Praise the Lord for the light of the world. Praise the Lord. All right. I wore that one out. Matthew 24, talking about the light keeping on burning and about the last days, prophesying the last days. Therefore, when you see, Matthew 24:15, when you see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place. Whoever reads this, let him understand. He's talking about like Antiochus when he was sacrificing pigs on the altar of God. There will be, the Antichrist will come in to the Jewish temple again, and he will offer pigs for sacrifice. And he'll do it for one reason: to infuriate the people of God, to shame the people of God, and to shame God himself, which is not possible. So I'm pre-tribulation, so I don't plan on being around for that show. But if y'all are there, just remember this, okay? Remember what I told you this day. I don't really get to choose. And then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to his clothes. Okay, here's a good one, man. Here's a good one. These are all good. I hope y'all are getting blessed from this. Because, you know, as you drive around and look at Christmas lights, or you pay exorbitant fees to go underground in Louisville and look at Christmas lights, whatever you choose to do, just remember the Christmas lights and all that came from this. It's just like Passover. Spring cleaning came from Passover. We've got all kinds of Jewish customs in our society, and we don't even realize where they came from. But I'm convinced the lights, the light on the tree, and festivals of lights and everything, they're really pointing to Jesus, who is the light of the world. Whether they know it or not, every time they put a light out, it's saying, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. That's what God wants us to do. Okay, Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will it be seasoned? It is good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. Who's he talking to? Is he talking to himself? He's talking to believers. He's talking to the church. You are the light of the world, and a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. They don't light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You know what Donna was talking about a few minutes ago? She let her light shine at Floyd Hospital. Laura let her light shine at Floyd Hospital. And they had a choice, right? You could let your light shine, or you can put a cover over it and shuffle away as you're disobeying God. Hello? But you don't understand. I'm shy. You're right. You are shy. You are backward. But you know what? Jesus in you is like a lion. He wants to roar. He wants to roar. You no longer are a little earth being when you come to Jesus. You are born again, full of the Spirit of God, and you've even got the ability to be like John the Baptist if it calls for it. Rah! Or you can be a gentle voice to somebody hurting that needs to be loved on. And you know God is going to use you. Because every one of y'all got a different personality. Every one of y'all are going to get hooked up with different people that God wants to help. And you can't, well, you can. You can deny what he tells you to do. You can say, well, maybe that was just my voice. No, your voice wouldn't tell you to do something that would challenge you, would it? Your voice wouldn't do that. So listen, listen carefully. There's a lot of hurting people right now, man. This time of year reminds everybody of how happy they're supposed to be and how happy they're not. I'm not talking about y'all. I'm talking about the world out there, man. They need us. They need you. God has sent his light upon you. He has given you his anointing. And we're entering quickly. We're entering a season of signs, wonders, and miracles. They're already starting to happen. Just like that little testimony you gave earlier, Glenna. God's healing your mouth. God has completely taken this growth out of your mouth in Jesus' name. And you said it was like it's shriveling up and dying. Yeah. And Lord, I just speak right now in the name of Jesus. I speak from the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I rebuke any tumors right now. Lord, we rebuke any demonic work of the enemy. We rebuke cancer. We rebuke cancer in the name of Jesus. It has destroyed so many lives, that has taken hope from so many people, that has become a word of fear. We fear not in the name of Jesus. Cancer, we're not afraid of you because you are not going to touch me or my family. I just pray a covering, a hedge, a protection around families right now, God, and especially on the fear of, in Jesus' name, God. Praise the Lord.